From the high deserts and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon. This is Midnight in the Desert, and I'm Art Bell. And it's a Friday night, Saturday morning, and I see trouble ahead. Oh, do I see trouble ahead. Great to be here, great to be back, filling in for Heather, taking the night off, long weekend. So I'm going to be here for open lines. Anything goes, open lines. Rules of the show, no bad language. One call per show. Drink minimum two. I know that's a maximum, right? it's good to be here. So those are the rules. I want to thank Telos, Joe Talbot, who made this kind of audio possible on the net. It's astounding. The evil Roland, my webmaster, Keith. Heather Wade, who was the producer, now is sort of it. LV.net. In the case of me, they get the internet here. Get me, you. TuneIn Radio. Who am I forgetting? Aaron and Asia at home. I'm going to get in trouble tonight. Sure as heck I'm going to get in trouble, but, you know, I don't care. When I first began doing talk radio a long, long time ago, I did political talk radio. Now, I could not hope or even pray for a more interesting political time. It was interesting long ago. But this program began because I got bored as hell with politics way back when. Just simply had enough. And that was the birth of the whole show, way back when. People don't know that about me, but it's true. Some of you know, right? So it's so interesting right now. You know, it's like I watch every day. We may say, oh, it's bad, interesting bad, but I think it's really interesting good. My God, so much has happened since we last talked. It's hard for me to know where to begin. And before I do, and I'm going to do it, politics is open season tonight. I want to note, since I've been on, there's been this discovery, and it is the completion of Einstein's symphony, if you will. Gravity waves. Oh, God, that's a big one. It's a Nobel Prize likely discovery. What are gravity waves? Well, they were only theorized by Einstein. Now, we know gravity waves are kind of like radio waves. They propagate kind of like radio at the speed of light. Radio goes very nearly the speed of light. And gravity waves at the speed of light. Now, they have just barely detected them because of the dance, and finally the embrace of two black holes. Fortunately for us, I guess, the black holes, well, they became attracted, frankly. And then, like the egg and the sperm, they merged. And as they merged, this immense gravity wave was sent out, and we have now picked it up. And as I mentioned, it kind of completes the Einstein symphony. Now, other than the obvious, you know, a couple of black holes merging, would mean big stuff, big things happening, right? Normally. And that is the case here. But let's look down the line a little bit with gravity waves. They're produced by objects with mass at some level, right? Even you produce a gravity wave when you move around somehow or another. Not that we can detect it right now, but you have mass, and so, yes, you emit a very tiny gravity wave, the Earth a bigger one. Other objects, big ones. Now, let me tell you where this could lead that's of interest, okay? If there are parallel universes, it has always been said that, you know, gravity waves might be the way we will detect that they are there, and that's cool. Think about it. Is that cool or what? That there could be parallel universes. We don't see them. They're not in our physical space. They're in another space-time. But these gravity waves, well, they traverse space-time. I want you to think about that a little bit. They traverse space-time. So maybe, just maybe, we'll end up talking to somebody in a parallel universe. I think that's really cool. I guess we could consider the the receivers for gravity waves that we presently have to be kind of like a whisker crystal radio. You know, you just barely can hear a signal if you stand on your head and get the whisker just right. In other words, crude. But eventually, we may learn all about gravity waves, and then the mind is boggled. I mean, we might end up communicating with another universe, whatever that'll mean. We might, I don't know, learn how to master gravity waves. My God, we might learn how to amplify gravity waves. And then who knows what we might do. So, I had to note that. That was a gigantic discovery. Probably will get a Nobel Prize. Boggles the mind about what it could conceivably mean. Now, the other big thing I want to talk about this morning, well, there's one more before we get to politics. Barack Obama, our president, says the encryption versus national security debate will not be settled by taking an absolute view of the situation. He says both values are important. Both values are important. They are, but they're just so mutually exclusive that I don't know how you get to a midway point. You know, there's a big deal going on right now with Apple, right? You got the government wanting Apple to... What happened is somebody who might be a terrorist, or probably was a terrorist, left behind an iPhone. And you can take 10 tries at cracking it. And if you don't make it in 10 tries, it erases everything. So Apple's gone to the government and said, look, you've got to open this baby up. We want to know what's in there. Apple's saying, well, if we did that, and we can do it, it would potentially get out, and everybody's apples would be no longer secure. So it seems to me these two things are really almost mutually exclusive in that you just can't have it both ways. Either you have privacy at this expense, or you don't. You decide that safety over privacy is the way to go. And you just don't let them have it. Apple stands their ground. Till we come at them with a knife and carve them up, I suppose. I don't know. It's the government, right? Donald Trump. That should get you going right there. Donald Trump. This has been the most amazing, amazing political season that I've participated in. And believe me, I love politics. To watch this happening is incredible. Blinking incredible. Here's what I wrote on Facebook, and I want you to hear it. I wrote, Donald Trump may or may not be what America wants or needs. But there's one thing for sure. The establishment that so hates him has brought this on themselves by again and again failing to do the things they promise in election after election. Yes, there's anger, and they have only themselves to thank for it. He's their monster. He really is their monster, and it has been a blast to watch. I think what I wrote on Facebook, and every word was mine, I think that it's just absolutely correct. We love him or hate him, and that'll be one of the questions tonight. Is he going to be a good president, do you think? If he gets a nomination and beats Hillary? Or is he going to be a disaster? An unmitigated disaster? So let me read this to you, if I might, one more time. I rarely write something that I consider to be, what's the right word for it? Not the cat's meow, not the best prose, but, you know, it kind of really, really says it. So let me read it one more time. Donald Trump may or may not be what America wants or needs, but there's one thing for sure. The establishment that so hates him has brought this on themselves by again and again failing to do the things they promise in election after election. Yes, there's anger, and they have only themselves to thank for it. You know, so watching all this happen, I watched Chicago. I watched every minute of Chicago tonight. I was dismayed, to say the least. CNN just about had a cow saying, oh my God, Donald said this or that, said something, and now look what we have. All these, well, they didn't say it, MoveOn.org people clogging the streets, starting fights, but we need to find a way to blame it on the Donald. So we've heard him say that ain't the way they did it in the old days. Right? That they got carried out on a stretcher back then. The Chicago of old, right, during the Vietnam War. It was very reminiscent of that, but CNN about had a cow. Had to blame it on Donald. So one of the questions tonight is Trump. Good president, or is it going to be a good president, do you think? Is it possible? Or is he going to be an unmitigated, I love that word, unmitigated disaster? And there's more, but I've got to take a break. So we will do that, and I will continue. So anything goes tonight, but I'm definitely not ruling out politics. If you want to call about that, it's going to be just fine. I'm Art Bell.
Sweeps across America. You've found an oasis for the mind. To call Midnight in the Desert, please dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
Okay. Chugging along. Those are the numbers. Now, it's time for the talk. And the talk is, we've changed things around. The numbers have come back here, I hope. And so we'll be able to take calls here at the normal national number, which is area code 952-225-5278. And you can say whatever you want. There's so many things to talk about, actually. But again, I'm not barring political discussion. If you want to answer one of those questions, you're welcome to. Anybody out there watching House of Cards? Have you noticed the way it's kind of parallel reality right now? Okay, the talk. And I see that we're going to run break into break pretty quickly here, so I'll try and get it done. We've brought the numbers back here, So if you would like to call, I gave you the national number, and I hope that's functional and brought back here. Otherwise, you're welcome to use Skype. Now, it's the old Skype connection, if you want to get through. In other words, since I'm back here, it's MITD51 if you're in North America. That's Midnight in the Desert, MITD, the initials only, MITD51. And if you're calling from outside the country, it's MITD55. That's MITD55. So, that in mind, I wonder what you want to talk about. I will throw out one last thing. And I suppose this could be a special line, if you want it to be. Such a simple question. If you had no fear, this is kind of because it's fun, because it's a Friday night. If you had no fear, what would you do? If you had no fear, what would you do? I can give you my answer. Have you seen those guys in the suits that approximate wings, I guess, you know, and a little material in between, and they put them on and they jump off mountains? And somehow, you know, I guess forward inertia is sufficient, and that little bit of cloth is sufficient to cause somebody to go into a semi-glide and live to tell about it. That's what I'd do. Especially at my age, I'd give it a shot. You know, jump off some large mountain and fly for a while. I've loved the sensation of flight. I just love it. By the way, I have a new hobby, and that is my drone. I have gone to the next generation of drone. And, oh, God, they're really getting good, folks. You know, I'll call them the home drones. They're getting really good. So what do I mean by that? Well, they will hover in place. In other words, you can send them up and just look at all the controls. GPS keeps them exactly where you've left them, and it'll just hover. God, Skype is really lighting up. And the phones are all lit up, so I'll try to keep it short and sweet, but they're amazing. If they get out of control in any way at all, very unlikely if you know what you're doing, they say, oh, I've lost signal, and they go home, rise up to 100 feet or whatever you've got it set for, and then land automatically. They always come home on their own. So I've been flying all over this part of the valley. And it's really fun. One can only imagine. I mean, every time you buy something, of course, I've now come out with a new model that has collision avoidance. As soon as I bought this one, DJI, the company I bought it from, came out with a new one. Now with collision avoidance. What are these things going to be like in 10 or 15 years? You wonder about that? I'm telling you, it's happening so fast. I bought one drone early on. I'm always an early adopter, usually regretting it. That's the pain of early adopters, right? With anything, you buy a car when it's brand new, and probably you're going to break it in with, you know, whatever beta testing they're doing on you. And it's the same with electronics, pretty much, and obviously drones. But I've made out very well in this case. Boy, have I had fun. This baby will go about 3 miles and send back high-definition video as she goes. I've had her about 3 miles out at whatever altitude I wish. Usually I go high enough to be just outside the reach of most shotguns and stuff like that, because I'm sure if people saw you hovering, they would, you know, go and grab whatever. I've worried about that. So I stay 150, 200 feet up, something like that. The video it returns is astounding high-definition video. Really cool stuff. So, I don't know whether you can get into it. It's getting more affordable all the time. It's an awful lot of fun. I guess if you're near an airport, probably you shouldn't do it because it won't let you take off near an airport. It's got the safety feature built in. Otherwise, though, if you're out here in the middle of virtually nowhere, kind of like I am right now, it's really fun. Really fun. You don't fly in a lot of windy weather, but, boy, they have made amazing strides. And that really, even at my age, makes me wonder what it's going to be like, say, in 10 years. I mean, already they've amped up the technology to the point that they're just utterly reliable. The video returned could probably be and is used for a movie, or it could be used for a movie. It's that kind of quality. You know, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So if any of you out there have joined the group flying drones, I'd like to know about that. All right, well, I suppose I've eaten up enough time, but I did want to do what... Oh, dare I do it. I'm sure you'll hate my guts by the end of the program. Absolutely hate my guts for bringing up politics, but I don't care. I can live with hate. Anyway, the rally breakup was kind of interesting. And CNN sure did try and pin it directly on Donald. I mean, really pin it on Donald. I'm not buying into it. It was moveon.org. They're the ones who went there and, you know, were the rowdy bunch. And they took away his right to speak. I'm Art Bell, and this is Midnight in the Desert. Would love to have you join. Stay right where you are.
Across America, you've found an oasis for the mind. To call Midnight in the Desert, please dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
Well, all right, anything goes. Open lines are just about to happen. Yeah, politics. I've got one more thing I want to say about Trump. Ben Carson endorsed Trump today. And I was thoughtful about that. Ben Carson, I think you would have to say Ben Carson is like the mildest of the mild. A thinking man for sure, right? So, I would say for many out there, the endorsement of Carson would have been shocking. I mean, those of you who think that Trump's a stump, basically. Those of you that think that way would be quite shocked that Dr. Carson has endorsed him. Anyway, enough. Whatever you want to talk about, pick on any of these things, and I'm glad to engage you. It's open lines. And one more time, the numbers have changed. The national number and all those, they're the same. So, but the Skype stuff has changed. North America, MITD 51. MITD 51. You really sound good on Skype too. In the rest of the world, it's MITD 55. That's MITD 55 worldwide. And if you're not supposed to be on that line, I will eject you like a protester at a Trump rally. So let's go to the phone. Start here and say, "Good luck to us. You're on the air."
Hey, Art.
Hey.
Great Friday night. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'd like to say really quickly that if Donald Trump is elected, I hope that he can do good. And that's all I can say. As far as no fear, Art, here's what I'd do. If I had no fear, I would use nano carbon fibers, modern materials like lightweight plastic, and a PVC cylinder full of helium to turn myself into a drone. That actually, before this planet is gone, so people can turn on their TVs and see a human flap their wings and fly.
What are you what are you calling me on, sir?
Oh, I'm calling you on a cell phone. I'm at work right now, trying to keep the background noise low, but I'd just like to someday see a human being be able to, maybe not with the, definitely not with the grace of a bird, but to be able to use modern materials and maybe a little bit of helium for lift and actually be able to, with a little bit of assistance, flap some wings and fly. And I really think that is possible with modern materials and modern technology.
All right, sir. Well, that, listen, thank you. I'm all into it, flight. But I don't want to have to use helium. I appreciate that. It's lighter than air, keeps you suspended, but, I mean, that's the old stuff, right? I want to be able to fly. I mean, really fly. I don't know, maybe like Superman. If you're going to go for it, let's go whole hog. That's what I say. Let's go, actually, to Skype and somebody calling himself Sharky.
Yep, that's me.
Hey, Sharky.
Glad to hear you again, Art, really.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Tons of people asking for a shout-out tonight. I think they're all just as glad to hear you from Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert fans. But Trump 2016. Absolutely.
Yeah, really?
My goodness.
You're sold, huh?
I am sold. I've watched every single GOP debate from Canada.
I've watched every one of them, too.
It's riveting. It's absolutely fascinating. They're so competitive at it now.
They are. I heard that Trump made a comment that he thought it was too tame for him.
Too tame?
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, he wasn't tame at the last GOP debates, but I like that. That's refreshing.
Yeah.
One thing, though, I don't understand is a lot of people, they criticize Trump so much, but meanwhile they know so little about politics.
Is he getting criticism, really?
Yes, of course, from the left wing, of course, but it's just, I don't know. I have to compare him to Putin, right? The little bromance that everybody says they have going on. I honestly see so much of Putin in Trump, right? If you listen to people, one of the things that they're most tired with the establishment is the lies, the Washington, right, as Trump mm-hmm. calls it.
You see Putin in Trump?
I do. I really do. If you think about it, who is the most American of the candidates? Who's the person that matches the most stereotypical idea of an American out of all the candidates right now? I would say it's Trump. And just in the way that one of the most stereotypical Russians you can think of is Putin. He's the perfect image of Russia. He has massive respect of his people. He unites them all under one cause. And Trump, he seems like he's a bit of a revival of that in America.
What about the charge that many are making that it's a quick trip to another Hitler?
I don't understand where they're getting that from. I mean, you see these little quotes from Trump, like Trump wants to close off the internet. But meanwhile, that's a very small quote
from a very big
speech.
Close off the internet. Oh, you mean to like ISIS?
Yes. Okay. And people took that as him saying he was going to shut down the internet. And they went wild.
Please. Oh, please.
It's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. So you're completely sold. Do you have any prediction about, there's two big states to watch, of course, coming Tuesday, right? That'd be Florida and Ohio. What do you think?
Florida and Ohio.
Yep.
I think Trump will probably take Florida, but Ohio is a little far north. I think there's a lot of liberal Democrats going on up there.
Well, there are, sir, but, all right, thank you very much. Let me tell you something. What isn't getting much publicity, because I don't think that CNN would want to talk about it, and yeah, I do watch CNN, is the fact that lots and lots of Democrats are coming across. Call them Reagan Democrats, call them whatever you want. They are so interested in Trump that they're coming across and registering and voting for him. So, what his ceiling is, I'm not sure, but, you know, they're always talking about ceiling. Yeah, you cannot possibly go past 35%. Well, you know, of course you can. If a lot of Democrats walk across, grab Republican ballots and vote for him, sure you can. There's a lot of that going on. And now whether that, whether all this boils well for him or he sinks like a rock after what happened, for example, tonight, if CNN is able to pin this on Trump personally, and they were sure trying. Man, oh man, were they trying. Yeah, but he made a comment about somebody getting socked. So he's bringing all this on. Well, no, MoveOn.org did this. I mean, that's just the truth. Okay, it was intended. Phone line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hi, Art. This is Tom in Los Angeles.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm fine. You could ask me any question about politics, and I'll have an opinion. But I'd rather make a quick joke and then talk about Fukushima.
Wow, really? A joke and then Fukushima. That's quite a combination. But go ahead.
Well, California conveniently just passed the right to die, mercifully, law. And that becomes effective on June 9th, which conveniently is about 10 days before Trump, becomes the GOP candidate. And so California has some options. That
are you, sir, are you sure about that?
Yes.
I mean, really, really sure that, he's on the way. This is it. I mean, they really tried hard with this messed up rally tonight.
Yeah.
To blame it on Trump. You don't think it's going to stick, huh?
Oh, no, it won't stick. But I think that you've got the crossover incorrect. I think that Bernie Sanders picks up the crossover vote from the other Republicans that are not Trump. And that Bernie Sanders will have a huge surprise for Hillary Clinton because nobody believes her anymore.
Well, she does have trust issues, yes.
Yeah. So my personal opinion is that Bernie Sanders against Trump will be the ticket, and both of them are reeling in a lot of maybe first-time voters or occasional voters.
Did you watch the last Democrat debate between the two?
I did, and I was quite offended by Hillary trying to say that Bernie was bought by the Koch brothers, you know, the energy industry.
Yeah, I don't know. How does she get away with that? I mean, or even close to that. Bernie's got these little donations that come from millions, so come on.
Right. I mean, he's got like 10 $3 donations from me just so I can run his numbers up.
Yeah, and your Koch brothers wouldn't be supporting that anyway.
No way. So how could, you know, Hillary's credibility just goes down the tubes. And for her to say that Bernie wanted the auto industry to fail, you know, they needed their $18 billion and that whole TARP thing that he voted against.
Mm-hmm.
Was like $700 billion. So whatever Bernie's opinion was about not giving $700 billion to the banks was not a vote against bailing out the auto industry. He voted, 6 weeks before that to bail out the auto industry. Hillary just has got some bad advisors that are telling her to go for the throat with Bernie when she should just, you know, waltz into the end of July convention a winner instead of, you know, ruining her own chances.
Nah, I don't see Hillary going for the throat. You know, she doesn't do it like that. She's not,
well,
she admits herself. She's not the consummate a politician at all.
Well, this is something she did admit recently, but that won't stop her from trying.
Well, she is pretty consummate, actually. But she says, you know, she just doesn't have the gravitas, you know, that her husband does and others.
Well, that's true. And she also, there's a funny thing about men. They can't listen to women who are yelling. It's very difficult, even for me, to keep my hand off of the volume control during these debates.
Uh-huh.
And I feel the same way about the tone of voice of Cruz. He has this whiny buzzard type of, you know.
Whiny buzzard. That's pretty good. Whiny buzzard. I haven't been able to put my finger, but I'm telling you, man, something about Cruz totally freaks me out. I don't know what it is. I look at him and I listen to him. I don't know. It just, he creeps me out. I mean, you know.
I'll tell you what should creep you out about Cruz. Himself and his father are these evangelical, righteous sons of guns that think God has selected Ted Cruz to lead our country in this in this caliphate type of Christian world. And that's scarier than Trump at any time.
Are you a Trump fan?
No, I'm a Bernie guy.
You're a Bernie guy.
Yeah,
you
I really
the Bernie. Yeah. I will give Bernie this. He is really, really getting his message across. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Loud and clear.
You know what? I sound like a broken record to everybody I speak to. You know, the old rule is talk to 20 friends and 50 strangers if you want to help your candidate.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm a broken record because I can repeat his top 12, you know, top hits pretty easily. And I can be pretty convincing. I mean, it's pretty hard to persuade a Republican off of their position no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But to get a liberal out to vote, maybe even for the first time, you know, in 10 or 20 years, is I'm very persuasive when I speak Bernie's language.
All right. Let me run this by you. Is it true or is it not true, sir, that when you look at Bernie Sanders and you look at Trump, when it comes to at least trade, they are just about on the same page?
I think that Bernie has some credibility on the trade issue and that Trump has picked it up as one of the thorns in the side of Americans, so he's running with it. I don't believe Trump believes a word he's saying about trade. But I do think they have the same position.
Well, I respectfully disagree with you, and I appreciate your call. Thank you. Interesting. I think he's wrong. I think you can say good Trump, bad Trump, hate Trump. But Trump does know what he's talking about when it comes to trade. Now, I can't make that claim in a lot of other areas because, yeah, he's been, you know, pretty broad-strokey, right? But, oh, no, I think he knows very well what he's doing when it comes to trade, and I think he will make good deals. You know, if there's a reason to really get excited about Trump, I think it is the art of the deal. You know, that he will make good deals for us and get us the hell out of a lot of things but that's just me. And so I'm a little bit attracted to Trump. So, there you have it. That's why I said probably by the end of the program you all hate me. Probably working on it already. Nevertheless, let's go to somebody called Phil on Skype. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Art.
Hey, Phil.
I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana. I've been listening to you. Well, actually, I'm recovering right now from open heart surgery last week.
Whoa.
Yeah, fun. Please don't anyone do this. You don't have to. I had my first real bad day today, and then to have you hosting the show tonight is just absolutely amazing. It's putting a big smile on my face, so I'm
really
going to let you know about that. Absolutely. What do you mean, really?
Well, I thought when I said that I was going to talk some politics tonight that everybody would go, I'm turning it off right now, canceling everything I have, my mortgage, too.
No, I come from a long line of I have a degree in history, and I come from a long line of folks that, you know, we sat around when we were kids in the 60s and the 70s, and sometimes we didn't even get up from the dinner table until 10 o'clock at night from talking about the world and politics, and my parents were real into it, and I love politics, but
well, you got to admit, this is a banner year for interesting.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it reminds me a lot with the first election that I was able to participate in. I was 18 years old in 1980. And I got to listen to, you know, all the stuff about Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter and everything like that. And it's kind of spooky how I remember the same rhetoric being used about Ronald Reagan as people are trotting out now with Donald Trump. And it's you know, I just don't get where the Nazi stuff comes from. It's, you know, who are the Nazis tonight, by the way, you know?
Well, we know where it comes from, of course. It comes from the question on David Duke, and that was probably something that his answer I didn't agree with. Now, I know many, 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 many times he is disavowed, but on that night. And intentionally, I might add, he didn't disavow. He just sort of mixed up the question a little bit.
Yeah. Well, listen, I just wanted to tell you that I've listened since the 90s. I'm a rock musician. I listen to you night after night after night forever, whenever you were, you know, we're available and everything. This last time you're on, you were mentioning this Bell Gap all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of lurked there for 4 months reading this stuff that's on mm-hmm. Bell Gap. And I just want to tell you, Art, don't bug with those people, man. Are you kidding me? Don't worry about what these people are saying. It seems to me, judging by the writing and the spelling and the grammar and stuff, that these kids are like 40 years old and less. I'm 53 myself. And it just seems to me that it's just people trying to get other people's goat constantly.
Well, they have an attitude. That's all right. Look, I don't shy away from rough. I never have. And I used to run a BBS when I was young. I actually wrote the code in BASIC for a BBS before the internet. And mm-hmm. I had a place called the War Room on my BBS. And it was actually intended for people who, well, want war. I don't mean world war. I mean personal war.
Right.
So, you know, I can handle it.
Well, I know, but I mean, it seems like sometimes you get a little perturbed by it, and I just want to be out here and just go, Art, you are the master. There are only a couple of talk show hosts in the last 50 years that can do what you do, and don't let anybody get to you, because you're the best, I love you, and that's about all I have to say.
Oh, come on, you should have one more nice thing to say.
Okay, I do have one more nice thing.
I'm kidding, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Have a great night. Anyway, good. I'm glad to hear you guys are jumping on it. It is interesting. Love him, hate him, with unmitigated hate, whatever. It's interesting. It is the most interesting political season I think I'll ever see in my life. It's even better than House of Cards. And I love House of Cards. Binge watch it whenever I can, but anybody out there, Mr. and Mrs. Trump, by acclamation, right? Some of you will know what that means. Hello there, Myrtle Beach, I think.
Yes, hey Art, this is Jason. In reference to the drones that you were talking about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you bought one. Just for my information, do you have to have a special license, or can anybody go out and...
Well, anybody can go out, but you do need simply to go up to a website and register your name, pay $5. You'll get a little decal, I hear now. It's the FAA website, and you get a little decal with a number on it, and that's all you've got to do. It's $5 and a couple minutes to do it. That's all.
Okay. Well, that clarifies it a little bit. The reason I bring that up, I was thinking about what you were saying, and my head being the way it is, I'm thinking about human nature and 15 years out, and the way that if, let's say, half of your block owns a drone, well, you know, the nosy neighbors and that kind of thing, people will be... putting cameras on these things, and I...
Oh, they come, cameras pre-installed, sir, including 4K video if you want it.
So their privacy is going to kind of become a thing of the past, I think.
I don't think so. I would never dare hover my drone, for example, outside somebody's window, because sure as can be, they're going to go find a rifle or a shotgun or even handgun at that distance and put it out of its misery. And that's a lot of money down the drain, so no.
That's true. I can see that. It just got me thinking, because even if in the world of crime, I can see, I don't know, even that far out, people putting guns or something remotely flying around if they have an enemy or something.
They've already put a handgun on a drone. And what was really cool is the drones hold position by GPS, so if you watch the video of it being fired... Boom! And the drone backs up and then goes right back to immediately to the position it was in that it's holding on GPS. So you can see the recoil, and it would come right back. It was amazing. So it's already, they're already doing it.
Well, it's, yeah, it's going to be a brave new world 15 years from now, that's for sure. One other thing in reference to the, this may be a little ethereal about the thing that you would fear. Well, if you...
No. The thing you would do if you had no fear.
If you had no fear, period, at
that's
all.
Right. That's right.
I guess I don't know what I would do if I had no fear at all. I, I think I would be worried about a world where people had no fear.
Well, this, for the purpose of this question, sir, it applies only to you.
Okay.
So if your fear was completely gone, you'd do anything you want, what'd you do?
I would probably, if the means were there, would attempt to go into outer space if I had the money or something like that.
Really? Even knowing it might be a one-way gig.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And maybe even Mars. That would be very tempting to do. And I think if I had no fear, I would do it. Yeah.
Mars. Yeah, that is probably a one-way ticket. A lot of people signed up to do it. I don't know what that says about people. Maybe it says there's a lot of people out there without any fear at all. I don't know. Anyway, I gave you mine. I'd like to fly like a, you know, like a bird, I guess, you know, on one of those uniforms, jump off something really high and fly. That's what we're doing tonight, flying. Anything you want to talk about, open lines, anything goes. I'm Art Bell.
Initiate a dialogue sequence with Art Bell. Please coordinate your phalanges and call 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
And there are other ways. If you're fortunate enough to have Skype on your phone or computer or whatever, you can get to us and you'll sound really good too. Here in North America, we are MITD 51. That's MITD 51. And outside North America, welcome. MITD 55 on Skype. That's MITD 55. And we're talking about whatever you want to talk about tonight. I have simply said that it's okay to talk politics, and so far it's kind of been going that way. I might also ask you about the ongoing battle between the government and Apple. I wonder where you come down on that. Yeah, it's important. It's a terrorist's phone. But Apple's saying, you know, basically, if we write that, well, it's your privacy is gone. That's a pretty compelling argument if you got their product, right? But the other argument's compelling, too. So they are dissimilar and never to meet. Though there is one thing that I don't understand. Why can't the government just give the phone to Apple and say, open it, don't tell us how, and then give it back. We'll do what we have to do with the phone, and that's that. So that way Apple could keep the code that got the job done secret, but open it for the government. Now, there's probably a hole in that theory somewhere, because they haven't done it. It seems like a common sense solution to me, if possible. But they haven't done that, so there's got to be a reason why, right? Let's go to, I'll just hit this and it will pick. Hayes, Kansas, I think, on Skype. Hello there, you're on the air. Hello? In Hayes, Kansas is what it says. You're on the air. Going once, going twice, going three times. And hello there, you instead are on the air because whoever it was in Kansas went away. Hello?
Hi, Art.
Hello.
How have you been?
Very well indeed, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, I've been good.
Where are you?
For you.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Spokane, Washington.
Okay, Spokane. Excellent.
Yes. And I've got a ham radio joke for you.
A what joke?
Ham radio.
Ham radio. Okay. Go ahead.
What did the ham operator say when he fell off his tower? Ouch, that mega hurts.
Yeah, thanks for that. I'll remember it when I'm climbing.
Yep. Yeah, all right. That's all I got for you, Art.
That's it. All right. Thank you very much. Have a good morning, or whatever it is, wherever you are. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Yes. Hold on a second. I got to turn something off.
Okay. Yeah, well, always do that. I mean, you got plenty of warning you're going to be on the air, so.
Well, no, it was a furnace that kicked on, and it's loud, and it just kicked on.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was going to tell you that about what you would do if you had no fear.
Yes.
And it involves kind of, you'd have to have money, too, and technology, I guess, but you gave me the idea, but not flying, but I would want to dive into the ocean if I had a suit that could, like, change seawater into oxygen or whatever, and you know, you're protected from pressure and temperature and all that.
Oh, that'll come soon, sir. Science is advancing quickly, and if you want gills, you'll get gills.
But I mean, be able to go deep and check and investigate these USO bases.
Yeah, well, that's what gills are for.
With cameras on it and stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what gills are for. If it wouldn't be that hard to do. They're coming right along with genetic science. And before you know it, you'd be a fish. Hello there, just says U.S. Cellular, so you get away with that. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, okay, great. I have a million questions to ask you. This is Heather in Providence.
Hello,
Heather. Hello. But I guess I'll stick with the mundane. I have a question, because I know you're a huge Trump supporter.
Wait a minute. That's not fair. I'm not a huge Trump supporter. I'm excited by what's going on. I haven't decided if I'm a huge Trump supporter. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, how do you feel about him, like, kicking protesters out in, like 9-degree weather and saying to take their coat before they kick them out?
Well, it's not as bad as water. Yeah, it's not as bad as waterboarding.
No, it's not.
Give me your coat. You're out of here.
But, you know, that's kind of, you know, not very nice. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of, well, I didn't want to say it, but yes, I'm going to say it. Sasha.
Why not take their coat and their shirt? Now, see, that's embarrassing.
Well, no, because you're not supposed to do that to people that disagree with what you say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess that's right, yeah. But in a way, I'll argue, you know, just for the sake of argument for you. Now, these protesters, they are trying to, and did, in fact, infringe on his right to free speech, right?
Well, yeah, they were trying to...
They did. I mean, he didn't get to speak. He had to cancel the rally for fear of... violence.
He didn't cancel it, though, did he?
He did.
No, he didn't.
Oh, no, hon. In Chicago.
He went on.
In Chicago tonight, he canceled a rally.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was more speaking about Vermont.
I see. No, he canceled a rally with thousands and thousands of people, as he would say. Excellent people. Lovely people. He canceled it. Well, they weren't all... lovely people. I mean, there were protesters from an organized, very organized group, and I mean, making him cancel a thing like that's like taking somebody's First Amendment away.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that's really the reason he canceled then, because that doesn't seem like he would cancel for that reason.
Well, he did. He canceled on the advice of the police authorities in Chicago.
Oh.
Because they were worried about what was going to happen.
Well, I mean, but, you know, the speeches he had before in other places like Vermont, You know, he's like...
Yeah, they've had some small things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, I mean, how do you feel about that? Don't you think that's like a bad omen?
Well, I mean, if you're giving a political speech, it's just rude to interrupt somebody in the middle of that, don't you think?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
but you're not supposed to, like, kick them out and take their clothes in, like, 9-degree weather.
Oh, like I said, I mean, they really should have taken the shirt, too.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I get where you're coming from.
Okay.
I just don't agree with it, but that's all right.
Okay.
If you go to a Trump rally and you're going to protest, you know, you need to layer up. They take your coat. You got another one underneath.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, and take care. And you are on the air wherever you are. Hello. Hello. What? Yes.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Did you... Oh, is it me?
Only you know that for sure, but it sounds like it might be you.
No, I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody else coming on. Hey, you old rascal. It's good to have you back on the air. You sound great.
Thank you. Thank you. What's up?
You know, I'm just going to say I'm a pretty liberal guy. You know, I'm an ex...
How liberal are you? Are you Hillary liberal?
No, I'm saying I'm an ex... liberal. Well, I'm somewhat liberal.
So you're definitely not a Bernie liberal.
No, I like Bernie over Hillary. I like Bernie very much.
No kidding, really.
Yeah.
Then you're very liberal. Really liberal.
Yeah. Yeah, except he, the guy that I would vote for definitely is Trump. I am excited about the fact that the status quo and the old guard and the CNN and these guys, they're more paranoid.
I about fell on the table. Are you serious? I mean, first of all, Bernie.
I'm totally serious.
But you're going to vote for...
Liberal ideas.
You're going to vote for Trump? Seriously?
No, I'm totally serious.
Where are you anyway? What state are you in?
I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, well, then you may have already voted for him.
No, I didn't even vote in the primary.
Okay, you're going to the
I've
general.
I've voted twice since I've gotten...
You're going to the... You are going to the general, though, right?
Going to... Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, at this point. But I think it's exciting. I think what we're seeing is that the people are that sick of everything and that they are... They're waking up. They're slowly waking up and saying, just like the movie Network... you know, they're opening the windows and saying, I can't stand it, and, you know, I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's scaring the hell out of the status quo.
Oh, it certainly is.
And the more paranoid they get, doesn't it make you feel like, gee, you know, even so, the more paranoid the status quo gets, the more it makes me feel like we're doing the right thing by going for Trump.
Well, you may be right. I mean, you're jumping harder than I am, but, you know, let me read this to you, sir. It's what I said, and again, I don't frequently come up with something that I really like myself, but I wrote this back when, actually March 3rd. Donald Trump may or may not be what America wants or needs, but one thing for sure, the establishment that so hates him has brought this on themselves by again and again failing to do the things they promise in election after election. Yes, there's anger, and they have only themselves to thank for it. Is that about what you mean?
That's exactly what I mean. I mean, we're the richest country in the world, and look what's happened with the educational system in the last 30 or 40 years. Look what's happened with our infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything falling apart. We're a mess. We're just going in the wrong direction, and it's like evaporation. The money in the country just evaporates and goes up to that 0.1%, it seems. And people are just tired of that.
Yes,
you know,
they are.
You have a lot of people that have the guys that have to work, or even women that have to work two jobs just to get by.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say I'm liberal in the sense that I would like to see the minimum wage raised to something like $15 an hour, because I think then you'd find that these people have a little bit more respect for themselves, and they wouldn't have to maybe pull robberies or maybe do drugs because you're so depressed. I think there's a lot of pluses that could be had. So that's what I mean about being liberal. I think that...
So in other words, give them $15 an hour so they don't rob places.
Well, $15 an hour, because if you're working in McDonald's, getting, what do they get, $9 an hour?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Not much, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, think about that, though. You work 40 hours at, say, $9 an hour, and then by the time the government's done taking everything out, you get $280. How are you going to support a family or do anything with that?
Oh, that's true. You know, and so, it's true. Yeah. The middle class, really roughing it.
It's evaporating, too, just like the money.
No, it is, sir. You're absolutely right. And everything else that he talks about, I agree with as well. Look at our roads. God, what a mess. You know, I remember back when I was young that you would drive out west. You'd hit the California roads, and when you got to California, the roads were like heaven because they were relatively new at that point, right? They were great. Just cruising along smooth as can be. But the roads in California now are a holy disaster. Quite literally. The bridges aren't safe. And, yeah, America has been deteriorating, and in meaningful ways, too. What is it we are? Number what in education now? We're the richest country in the world. Come on. We can't educate people? That's the future. If you don't have an educated population, you certainly aren't going to have jobs no matter what. At least anybody can do them. Okay, let me go to, looks like, Hayes, Kansas, I guess. Hello?
From the Great Plains of Kansas, this is James listening to you on a software-defined radio on WTWW.
Way to go. 5085 on your shortwave dial.
Actually, it's a software-defined radio. It's a little USB tuner that I have run up to a long wire antenna and a digital antenna.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know we can be heard on shortwave. They just don't know that.
Oh, it's great. We transmit worldwide. They're a great group of people.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so I wanted to weigh in on the whole Trump thing, but first I think I want to ask a question that all of your diehard fans should be asking. How did Asia do on the regional spelling bee?
Okay, see what you think of this. I'm no fan, by the way, of Common Core, but Asia did this. She won the spelling bee in her classroom. That was the first thing she did. Then she won against a third grade class in the school. And then she's representing the school, the whole school. She went on to the big spelling bee, district-wide. But here's what I thought was a little bit unfair. She got knocked out in like round 11 or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But what I thought wasn't fair was that they gave third, fourth, and fifth graders were all lumped together. Now, how can that be fair? I mean, she did really, really well, and she beat all the other third graders, but really, by the time you're in fifth grade, you're at a whole new level of expertise in spelling. Anyway, that's what she did. She went quite a very long way in it, and I was so proud of her. So proud of her. So, down in like round 11, something like that, but up against fifth graders, fourth and fifth graders at the same time. So, yep, Daddy's proud of Asia. She did so well. Let's go.
Well, I'm glad you're getting to enjoy your family.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. With the whole Trump thing, my thing with Trump, the thing that I'm worried about, is he seems pretty hot-headed, and he seems like he refuses to admit when he's made a mistake. And I don't know if I want a guy like that with a nuclear football at his disposal.
So, in other words, if he pushed the button and sent the intercontinental ballistic missiles with thermonuclear warheads toward Russia, you wouldn't, you don't think he'd apologize if, you know, he realized
it was I think that we wouldn't get a chance to hear an apology, but that's just my take on it.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, you know, I know a lot will grind their teeth when I say it, but I think there are two Donald Trumps, one that is campaigning for office and another one that would help the country. Just my take on it, he'd make good deals. And that's what politics is. It's deal-making. Do I think he'd get angry at, you know, have a hot phone call with Putin and then push the button? No, I really don't. Although that's an issue that people are going to worry about. Do you remember a long time ago, are you old enough to remember the nuclear mushroom cloud inside the little girl's eye? It was an election long, long ago that most of you probably don't remember, but that was used against a politician. The concept of a little girl's eye and the camera came zooming in on the little girl's eye, and there was a nuclear mushroom cloud. And, of course, the inference that that man is going to get us into a nuclear war. On Skype, Rhonda, I believe it is, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Rhonda in Arizona.
Hey.
I got to tell you, I work in the ER, and a few weeks ago before flu season, I turned some people on to your man flying into Area 51 call.
Oh, yes.
I had ER doctors and surgeons and nurses glued to the YouTube. That night, I kid you not, this light kept going on in a room that there was no patient in.
Ooh.
Happened four times. Do you know what that room number was?
No.
It was 51.
Room 51. Really?
How weird is that? Nobody in the room, and the light just kept going on all by itself.
Yep. Fairly weird, I would say.
We miss you. Shout out to DM Talk, and your voice is awesome.
Well, so is yours. Thank you very much for the call, and
right.
And take care. DM Talk. Yeah, they follow the show along. Just in that room, huh? Room 51. I think that if I went to the hospital and they assigned me to room 51, you know, I do favor that number. And by the way, I meant to mention, there is a new area. Did you know that? I didn't. Area 51, just over the hill from me here, and now the brand spanking new so-called Area 6. Now, Area 6 is interesting. It is located inside the area where we tested nuclear weapons. So you would think it would be hotter than a firecracker, even this many years later. But I guess they don't get a lot of, well, intruders. You'd be out of your mind, right? Going to Area 6? No, I don't think so. You can hear the rads clicking from here. So I don't know if that's real or not, but that's what I've heard, that there is an Area 6. Wouldn't you like to know what they're doing there? Let's go to the phone, and hello, you're on the air, wherever you are.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Mike in Montana.
Hey.
I was listening earlier about the Trump thing, and my wife kind of likes him. She's wanting somebody to really do a change on the country, you know, to maybe turn things around.
Your wife wants him. What do you want?
Well, I'm in a predicament where I can't do anything. I'm one of the disenfranchised from ever voting again.
Well, they have little pills for that.
Yeah, but right now there's about 50 million of us out of 350 million.
Yeah.
I'm
just messing with you.
There's like one out of seven that can't vote, ever.
Because, let me guess, they have a record.
Either a record or, you know, something that prevents them from voting, either by being illegal, you know, alien or...
Oh.
You know, you could have a record. But there's roughly 50 million people in this country that still can't vote. And I'm just kind of concerned that one day that, you know, they're going to say, okay, yeah, well, you all can vote. I think Obama was probably the one who was going to do that, but he never did.
Sir, they won't even give illegal aliens driver's licenses in most states, but the concept of having them voting is absolutely terrifying. Terrifying. So I don't mind that people here who are here and have broken the law to get here can't vote. It doesn't bother me one whit.
Oh, I agree, too.
Good.
I just, I kind of think that the whole system, though, is in the last 20 years, it's been stacked against people in general. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it's been aimed at the middle class to kind of tone us back so we don't have a voice anymore. I think they've taken too many liberties with...
Okay, so do you have this famous anger, sir? I mean, would you, or maybe your wife angry?
No, she loves Trump. She thinks he'll help the country. And I was in manufacturing for 38 years. I just lost my job here a year ago. But it's the country has been on a downslide for a long, long time. And I just see it. You know, if Trump can't do it, who can? I mean, really. I mean, Cruz sounds... He reminds me of the Penguin.
You know? Listen, we've got a break. You want to hang on?
Sure.
All right. Stay right where you are.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin'.
Take a walk on the wild side of midnight. From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
It is, and you can get to us on Skype, too. Here in North America, we're MITD51. That's MITD51 on Skype. And outside of North America, rest of the world, it's MITD55. MITD55. Let it ring till it's answered. You'll know when you hear audio from the show that you're close. So don't hang up. All right. We were discussing, I believe, your wife's anger, sir.
she likes Trump. But my concern about him is I know he'll have to work with Congress. Will they work with him? And I imagine internationally he has a... Yeah, well, that's what he's been saying. I just don't know how he's going to do that.
He has not ruled out waterboarding.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, congressmen, they're going to fold just like that. Gurgle, gurgle, and they agree.
I hate to say this, but in war, there shouldn't be really any rules.
Okay, now you're over
there
to war.
There should be win or lose, and we can't afford to lose. Because they don't play by any rules.
No, they don't. Something that Trump has been pointing out, and he's right. They play by no rules whatsoever. Now, we have to have some, I guess, rules. But
my dad fought in Vietnam, and he said it was nuts.
Yeah,
it was nuts. Because he expected them to line up, and they never did.
Mm-hmm.
They came from all sides, everywhere, out of the ground, dropping out of trees. Yeah. He said it was insane.
It was insane. More ways than one. The whole war was insane.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
And we still haven't learned to stay out of people's civil wars.
Yeah. We're still trying to influence everybody to think the way we do.
Mm-hmm. We are.
And I'm not so sure we're doing such a great job ourselves, you know?
Again, that's something Trump has said. He said, for example, some of the guys that we've knocked down, you know, regime change... You know, it hasn't worked out well. That's an understatement, right? Has not worked out well. And I do agree with that. You know, if you're going to go to war, go to war. I mean, really go to war. And there are not many rules in war. There is the Geneva Convention. He's got to follow the law. He's got to adhere to it, right? Yeah, again, I'm going back to the safe haven of mine, and that is that they brought it on themselves. Let's go to Skype and... Crypto Lord, that's your name, is it?
Art, so good to hear you tonight.
Okay, so somebody named Crypto Lord ought to have an opinion on Apple and the government, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say about that. I kind of think that Apple should stick by their guns on it and not give up the code or anything.
Mm-hmm. I am in agreement with that. I figure somebody named Crypto Lord is like really, really into the internet and tech stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I remember I emailed you that time about Windows 10. In fact, I've got a good story about Windows 10 for you. Did you put 10 on your computers yet?
No, I have not. I have not. I'm not buying into it. I'll tell you why. I had this giant message inviting me once again to Windows 10, telling me that there could be no file left behind or something enticing like that. And I thought, cool. Mm-hmm. And then there was a little thing that said, check your system next to it to see if there might be any files left behind. And sure enough, it gave me a little list of files that would be left behind. Get that?
Yeah.
So, I haven't gone to 10.
Yeah, my friend, I give a shout out to my friend Tristan. He lives out here in the San Diego area, too. He's the one who turned me on to your show years and years ago when you were first on. He was in his garage working on his motorcycles a couple nights ago, and he left his computer on sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So he was gone for about 3 hours, and he was getting the same messages you were getting.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back in from the garage and took the computer out of sleep, and Windows 10 had installed itself.
There was actually a rumor going around, sir, that there was going to be a day when they were going to do it to you whether you wanted it or not.
Well, it happened to him. He's got Windows 10 on there. He's
well, maybe he just inadvertently hit the wrong thing, or there might have been a little power surge, or who knows. And a non-response turned into a yes, convert me. I'll take it now.
Hey, Art, can I ask you, since you've been away from the mic for a while now, have you been eating any more light bulbs? I remember that one of those last shows you had. And
yes.
I remember you were on Periscope holding the light bulbs up. I was thinking about that tonight when you came on.
I did. I didn't think it did any good to do that, but I did go on Periscope. I held up a real light bulb, and then let me ask. Did you buy it? When you heard that crunch, did you think that I had done it?
50-50. So maybe you've got some potato chips sitting there next to you, or are you actually eating that light bulb?
Yeah. The good old days. Anyway, is that it? Anything else?
One last question I keep forgetting to ask you when I've called up in the past. Whatever happened to the Trans Am? Do you still have your Trans Am?
Damn right I do.
All right. Isn't it a 98?
Firebird Trans Am, 98, yeah. I saw 98. I saw it, sir, on the Super Bowl. They trotted it out on the Super Bowl, and it was probably around, it was right around halftime. I was in a pretty good mood. And here comes this Firebird Trans Am. Oh, this incredible color. Not black, not purple, but sort of a tinge of purple. It was actually called, the color was called Midnight Maybe. And this thing looked like an animal. And it is an animal. It's 6 forward speeds. And, you bet I've got it. Still got it. Low mileage, garage kept, a thing of true, no matter how you crack it up and talk about it, true beauty. I mean true, true beauty. Overseas on Skype, you're on. Hi. Hello on Skype. Going once. Going twice.
Hey, Art, Johnny Webb.
There you are. Where were you? Across two rooms?
Sorry, fella. Yeah, I was in the other room for just a second there. I heard you talking with your other friend about the light bulbs. Them curly bulbs, though, you got to worry about, especially if they burst. They're toxic.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat either one of them, actually.
But anyway, look, I'd like to welcome you back. It's great to hear your voice again. It's good
Thank
to hear you.
Thank you.
Regards to you, Keith and Heather. Great top show you're doing. But the questions I've got for you, if you've got a couple of minutes, I'd like to ask your opinion on a couple of things. Now, today on the news, I saw that Newt Gingrich, the former congressman there, he claims that Donald Trump don't have the backing of the big club. And I was wondering, is that a Bilderberg club, a Club of Rome, or the Illuminati club, I'm thinking? Because I remember George Carlin.
I don't think he's got the backing of any big clubs, really. Not in it. Maybe a golf club?
And also, with Donald Trump, if he does win, I'm a bit concerned, because I remember these cards that was out and about in the 80s and 90s called the Illuminati cards, pictorial cards.
Where are you? You're not even in America, right?
No, I'm in London, England.
You're in London. Okay, there you have it.
So,
what can he possibly do to you in London?
Well, if he gets in, I think that it might be a good thing, because I think that we'll separate from Europe and we'll get our independence back, and I think he'll back us. Hmm. I think if we get our independence and say, you know, the other guy gets in, or, you know, Mrs., you know, well, I worry if she gets
in. Hey, have you seen London Has Fallen yet?
Yeah, I have, and I'm a bit disturbed by it, because it says that, like, the Metropolitan Police can't choose their policemen properly, and I'm wondering, there is quite a few sort of... internationals that have come in and been part of our police and also been part of our MI6, you know. So
yes,
we have internationals that come in and are members, obviously, to cope with the internationals that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was very disturbing. I thought that if anything, it was trying to break ties with England and America, saying that we're not trustworthy enough to be with America. But the truth is I think that if you look at the backbone of this club... they're all very, very closely tied, you know?
Yes.
And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the drones art. You know, you talked about getting a new drone, and there's some quite good ones on the phone.
Oh, yes.
But you mentioned Area 6, or, you know, part of the Area 51. And my understanding is that's a DARPA, Department of Advanced Research Program Agency, and it's a drone base. But what concerns me...
Well, why would they put it right in the... Why would they put it right in the middle of the area, you know, where we exploded the atomic bombs, did all the testing?
Well, that's the Trinity area, isn't it? And it was sort of carved up into numbers in a grid reference.
Yeah,
and that's how
that's
we
right.
get, you know, Area 51 and Area 6. It's,
right.
it's grid referenced from right. the Trinity system of, you know, the 40s.
Well, if you were there, would you be a happy drone operator in the middle of Area 6, knowing that you're probably glowing?
Well, what concerns me about it is that if these drones are coming out of Area 6, they're not like an international flight where they carry gallons and gallons of fuel so they can go international. It says to me that they're working over your country. They're looking over your people.
No doubt.
And that disturbs me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well...
I'm not trying to scaremonger you. They may well be looking after your safety, you know what I mean? So let's look at it in that light as well.
The whole idea, sir, of drones... the whole idea of drones is creepy. I mean, even my... Somebody asked me on the wormhole what drone I have. I have the... now, I have the 3 Advanced. The DJI 3 Advanced. And now they have one... or actually a couple ahead of that. But the new one has collision avoidance. Anyway, the whole concept of drones is a little freaky. Or a lot freaky. Even my little drone, at about 300 feet of altitude, you can't see that baby, especially if it's a bright sky anywhere near the sun. You absolutely can't see it. Even against a blue sky, it's about disappeared from my old eyes. You definitely can't hear it. And above that, it's invisible. So most of the time, you're not going to know when a drone's over you. Now, when you take the big drones, the ones that can really spit at you, they fly really high, probably 5,000-10,000 feet higher, with great photography. Make even 4K video look silly. So they can hang, they can loiter over an area, which they do. And then, of course, they can disappear you. Now, you will never hear what's coming at you. It's coming probably speed of sound plus, right? So you're never going to know that you're dead. You're never going to hear anything before you die. You're just going to disappear. You're going to cease to exist. And our president has been criticized for using too many of them. I wonder how you feel about that. It's another good question. Let's go to Skype and Brad. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Art. How are you?
I'm very well, sir.
That's good to hear. I actually just happened to check in with you. My wife and I were coming home from a midnight movie and put on TuneIn Radio Dark Matter, and you're on. So
and here I am.
Great to hear you. Mm-hmm. I actually was calling, and I'm hoping it's open lines in general. I know you were maybe talking about Trump.
It is. Totally open. Whatever.
I've been meaning to call and sort of ask a story. When you had, I believe it was David Weatherly on, you know, back in the fall, and he was talking about shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
I had had an experience, or rather two experiences in my life, that Dr. Weatherly was talking about, and it kind of triggered something in me. I had felt years ago that I had a haunted mirror in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an experience one night. It was sort of around the time of my father's death. An old mirror, sort of an antique mirror that my ex-girlfriend had in the bedroom. One night it was as if a cloud started coming out of this mirror. And, I mean, I was fully awake, somehow too concerned to wake my girlfriend at the time because I just thought it seemed too crazy, but it just seemed like this dark, malevolent cloud was coming out of this mirror into the room.
Yeah.
You know, years sort of passed by, and that was the only time that I ever felt this sort of dark shadow entity. And I thought maybe it was just...
Well, did you see an entity or just yourself?
Well, I was lying in bed. It was actually, you know, really late. I was listening.
Sometimes when I look in the mirror, it looks like a dark, evil entity looking back to me.
Oh, I'm quite familiar with that phenomenon as well. But, you know, years later, you know, I thought that maybe it was just stress, you know, from around the time that my, you know, my father was really ill at the time.
Yeah.
And it never happened again. But then, you know, I have since, you know, that relationship had ended and the mirror was out of my house. And, you know, I have moved into a new house. And then there was one other experience that I had where it seemed as if a mirror in my home was releasing some sort of just shadow, malevolent cloud into my home. And, you know, Dr. Weatherly spoke very, very briefly on your interview on Midnight in the Desert about mirrors as some sort of entry point for shadow creatures, but it was really brief, and I was just...
Well, mirrors are entry points, sir, for all kinds of things. So, you know, expect anything. I mean, we all know in the paranormal world that mirrors are, well, virtually capable of anything, to be honest with you. So, I can imagine that about anything happened to you. A little bit of fog, twice in a lifetime, nothing too much to worry about, in my opinion, but you never know. Mirrors are, I'll stop there. I actually had a couple of experiences, and I don't really want to talk about it, but you know I've had one with a shadow person. Finally, all those years talking about it, I had an experience with a shadow person. Christopher overseas somewhere. Hello. Hello, hello. It's the sniffer. Christopher the sniffer. Hey, Christopher.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, no, this is Josh.
Josh?
Yes, from Arizona.
From Arizona? Oh, Josh. Yeah. You're on the international Skype connection, so I'm sorry, but you're going to have to call on the other one. That's so cruel, right? I didn't take his jacket, but, you know, he's going to have to call on the other one. Let's go to the phone lines and say, hello, you're on the air. Hello, hello. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, attention! Are you there or not? Going once, going twice, going three times, you're gone. And West Virginia would appear to be next.
That's me, Art.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, I explained to Heather one night that I had listened to you for years and years on the radio and never called in.
Okay. Well, well.
And she said I should have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm finally calling in.
Yes.
Just to say, nice to hear you on the radio again.
You waited years for that?
Yes, I waited years for that.
Well, appreciate the effort to actually make it through and say that, but say something of substance.
Okay, something of substance.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, I'm a very, very into time travel. And I enjoyed, when you come back, the show you did with Madman Markham.
Oh, yes. Yes. All my life, I have been intrigued by the concept of time travel. Have you seen the movie Frequency?
No, I haven't.
Then I highly, highly recommend it. If you're into time travel, you're going to love Frequency. I mean, really love it. My wife, who watched it recently, was reduced to tears by that show. She actually cried. Not once. We saw it twice. She cried both times. That's how good it is. Also involves amateur radio, ham radio, by the way. But it's a big-time time travel movie. So anytime I see a movie even remotely into that area, I jump upon it. Was really an amazing movie. All right, let's see. I have so many Skypes calling that I can't see who I've got. All right, there we go. Got you out front. And your name is Josh, I believe. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hi.
How's it going? Hey, I was wondering, with you being out there and everything, were you able to catch the new X-Files?
Oh, sure.
You catch Heather's interview with...
I did. I caught part of Heather's interview, and I saw all of the X-Files episodes. There were some people a little disappointed in a couple of the episodes. How'd you feel?
I actually thought they did a pretty good job. You know, the thing is, the sixth episode made my jaw drop, because now I'm thinking, okay, well, are they going to come out with another six episodes? Are they going
How can you possibly end it that way and not have more episodes?
Yes, and the other thing too is a long time ago when I was in Scouts and everybody's been talking about fireballs and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
I remember seeing one that was bright orange, almost like the size of a basketball from a distance.
Right.
And, you know, it's just crazy to see those things, so...
Yeah, I see them all the time, or I used to anyway, driving back and forth to Las Vegas, and I would see things big as basketballs and bigger streaking across the sky, actually lighting everything up. Not quite daylight-type light, but very, very bright. Out here in the desert, you definitely see that sort of thing. It's really cool. And the stars at night, the stars. Let's go right here in Pahrump, Nevada. You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Bart.
Hello.
Hello.
You're here in Pahrump, Nevada, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you tell them. How cool are the stars from here?
Oh, they're beautiful. I love the stars at night.
Yeah. From horizon to horizon, all Milky Way. It's incredible.
Yes. I want to tell you what made me a believer in UFOs.
Okay.
I lived in Arizona right after I got out of the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to a dinner party at a friend's house,
and
his driveway is about a half a mile from the highway,
mm-hmm.
and I see this dark object. It's about 6 o'clock and there's still daylight, but the sun had gone down behind the mountain, and this dark object with a bright light probably about 400 feet up in the air was shining down on a cow in the pasture.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got up to the door, I knocked and I go, come out here, everybody come out here and look at this. And I was just amazed by this. And I told my friend, I go, you know what, you're busted. I think they found your plants out there. He goes, I don't have any plants out there in the pasture. And I go, well, what is this? What's this light? And no noise. It was totally silent. And then about that time, two jets come into view, coming into the valley where I was.
Chasing it, you think?
And it wasn't chasing because this was hovering, a black object hovering. as soon as the jets got any, well, probably 8 to 10 miles from it, it went off, the light went off, and in a blink of an eye, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was humans in that, you know anything about G-force, if there was human beings in that object,
they'd have been jelly.
They would have been jelly.
Yeah.
And the jets just kept following, just kept going in the same direction. They never changed directions.
Now, was that a local sighting here in Prump?
No, this was in Arizona.
Arizona, I'm sorry, that's right.
About 80 miles from Snowflake. You know where Travis Walton lives?
Snowflake.
Snowflake. And I was about 80 miles from there. And this was back in 1980.
Well, since you are in Prump, have you ever seen anything here? Because we do have a lot of sightings here.
Yeah, I've got two photographs I'd like to show you of things that I've actually taken pictures of. And I don't know what they are. And everybody I've showed it to, even my wife, they can't explain it either.
All right, that's good enough for me. So, yeah, send it. Send it, send it, send it. It's artbell@knye.com. That's me, Art Bell, at KNYE, Kilowatt, Nancy, Yokohama, easy.com. And if you've got really good photos of something, I'll put them up.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna open up your gate.
To reach Midnight in the Desert via Skype worldwide, if on a computer, please be sure to use a headphone mic and call MITD-51. That's MITD-51.
Well, that's it. And let me give you the other numbers. Somebody said, aren't you going to use first-time caller line? Sure I am. I might as well give out all the numbers. I don't care. First-time callers, area code 775-285-5800. 775-285-5800. Now we have a special line, and heck, you can call that too. I don't care. Area code 575-208-7787. That is the Roswell portal. If you're actually calling through Roswell to get the show when you do that. Area code 575-208-7787. And we are open for anything. Anything you want to talk about is fair game in that. Yes, tonight does include political comment. This is the most interesting, fascinating, riveting, outrageous political season I've ever seen in my life. And though politics most times bores me to tears, there's nothing boring about what's going on right now. Very controversial, to be sure, but boring? No, not boring. So I couldn't resist. Sorry about that. I know that will put me in the hated class, but I am too old to care. Steven on Skype, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
Great to hear you on the radio again.
Great to be here.
Hey, so I wanted to get your take on the fact that Rubio and Kasich are still in the race, even though there's no mathematical path to the nomination. And what you think will happen.
Bingo, boy, are you asking the right one. I want to take it further than that. Rubio and Kasich are still there. Rubio said that if you want to vote for Kasich in Ohio, go ahead and do it. Basically, he said that. And so that tells you what kind of pressure is being applied right now to stop Trump. And here's what I want to ask. So that, I said I was going to take it a little further. This is a rough question. If we get up to the, we actually get to the point where the convention is here, nobody has quite enough delegates to be the nominee, and then the Republican Party decides to, through some weird rule change, I'm not talking about votes now, I'm talking about some weird rule change, to steal the election from Trump, what do you think that would bring about?
I think they'll all sit, I think a huge chunk, like 40% of the Republican Party will sit the election out, and they'll lose all the Senate races, not only the presidency, but all the Senate and House races. And I think it could be an absolute disaster, and I don't see how it cannot happen at this point. I mean, it seems like they're on a path to exactly that, and nobody has a solution to stop it. And I think they know, too, that Trump can't possibly win a general. So they don't really know.
I'm not convinced of that at all.
Really? I think the highlight reel will take him down, his own highlight reel.
You know, it might. You never know, but so far, everything they've predicted will be the end of Trump has only been higher numbers for Trump.
Well, it's been higher numbers inside the Republican electorate. But I don't think, you know, when they
You're dismissing, sir, you're dismissing how many Democrats are crossing over. This is something CNN talk about. How many Democrats are crossing over? You're dismissing that. I think there are many.
I know. I watch CNN a lot, too, but I really don't think that. I really don't think that's accurate. I don't think most Democrats are going to cross over. I think there's probably a few. But I just don't.
We'll find out, sir. We're going to find out. That's for sure. Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's fascinating. I'm with you. Politics gets boring, but this election is absolutely fascinating.
Oh, baby, it's really the king of all the races that I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know how the Republicans, you know, with their reverence for America and democracy, I don't know how they reconcile that with staying in a race when there's no mathematical path.
I mean, there was nothing this cool. I remember Nixon sweating. That was about as cool as it got.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. Anyway, great to hear you back.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. No, the question was asked in earnest, and I want to ask it again of all of you. Any of you are certainly welcome to respond to it. And it is this. Just think about it for a moment. If we get all the way to the convention, and now I'm not talking about votes. I mean, this is a valid way to try and stop Trump. If Rubio and all the rest of them that are left want to try and soak up enough delegates that, you know, he won't make it, you know, then what happens at an open convention? It could be virtually anything, right? Anything. Once you've got an open convention, look out, baby. Anything could happen. But if he goes in with just about enough delegates or enough delegates, and then they figure out some way to steal the election from him, that's really an ugly thought. The response to it would be frightening, I think. And I think it's actually likely. He may get enough delegates to go ahead and get the nomination. But if he doesn't and they actually steal it from him, that would be a bad moment in America, a very, very, very bad moment. Hello there. In Atlanta, I believe, you're on the air.
Mayor Roswell's Art.
Hey. Thank you.
This is Juan.
Juan?
Yes. Shout out to all the Bill Gevers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad to hear you back, and I'm glad that I'm hoping this isn't the last time you fill in, because I hope I've got a dream interview I have to interview Bill Walton.
Bill Walton, okay, well, you never know. I mean, it could happen.
Oh, yeah, I think you both, his new book, he's come out, it's going to be discussing his recovery from his back troubles, so I think you guys will have a lot more in common than you think.
Maybe. Thank you. My back troubles are, you can't believe. That little device I have helps immensely, but when you've got a back as bad as mine, you know, I watch these commercials on TV. I'm sure you've seen them, right? The guy has a bad back. He can't do anything. His daughter's frustrated because dad won't come walk the dog because his back hurts. That's me, right? And then they have this commercial on TV about how they fix your back and you walk out of the office with a Band-Aid on your lower back. So I went to my doctor and I said, how about that? Can I go to the Band-Aid place? Basically, he sat me down and said, no, son, your back is, and then he used a word that I can't repeat. Even Donald couldn't repeat it. But messed up. Leave it at that. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Donald Trump. I think that any candidate who can appeal to Bernie Sanders supporters on the one hand, like your earlier caller, and appeal to right-wingers in the Republican Party, what that tells me is he doesn't believe in anything. Because if you believe in everything, you don't believe in anything. And if he appeals to that...
Wait a minute. Let me tell you what I think there is going on with Donald, all right? I think that he has not talked about a lot of things that he probably should talk about, and I'm talking about details of what he'll do, because frankly, you know, they're accusing him of not being a conservative. He's probably not. He's probably kind of in between, and he doesn't want to reveal that. Frankly, I consider that to be a plus, that he's not a pure conservative, and he's definitely not.
Well, yeah, but people oppose the quote-unquote establishment, which whatever that is. He's a billionaire, but he's not part of the establishment. I think that's funny. But the establishment's attacked because it lies to the voters, tricks them, doesn't deliver on its promises. But yet at the same time, Trump gets praised because he's basically lying and pretending to be conservative. I agree with you. He's not a conservative. I don't think he's seriously thought about political issues his whole life. He's a car salesman who just so will say anything to get you to sign on the dotted line. If you look at his political program insofar as it exists, the only thing he seems to really believe in is building a wall to keep Mexicans out. Other than that, what does he believe in? I mean, he'll say whatever he wants. Whatever.
Well, I agree with him, sir. Hold on. I agree with him on trade.
Well, okay, but that's a good example of how he's living in fantasy land. He mentioned bringing Apple jobs back to the United States. That will never happen because the wages in the United States are not going to be comparable to what you can pay in these other countries like Vietnam or China or wherever. And you can pass all the laws you want and raise the tariffs and whatever.
Well, no. You can gain something if you take a very hard position and you say, all right, there's going to be like a 45. They were talking about 45% tariff. And he said, that's just a threat. And he's right. The only way you're going to get jobs back into the U.S. is to level a really big threat and then be prepared to follow through on it if you have to. And that would be very painful for the American people because prices would go up. But ultimately, you would see factories starting to come back. I believe that.
Yeah, let's say that happened, I don't believe that, but let's say that did happen, well, then that means that the cost of your iPhone is going to go up a lot. So I hope everybody's ready for that. Not a little bit, a lot.
I know.
So what you're basically doing is raising prices on some consumer goods for the lowest level of the economy for middle-class people, poor people who shop at Walmart, and they want those cheap electronic goods and they want those cheap shirts. So let's make it more expensive by either imposing tariffs or bringing the jobs back to the U.S. and paying them the higher wages.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when people say we should have a $15 minimum wage. Why stop there? Let's make it $25 an hour. I mean, the reality is that the economics doesn't work that way. You can't create wealth by fiat. You can't create a law and say everybody's going to be rich. I don't know how to do that.
I know.
I'm not a rich person myself. But Trump is playing everybody for a sucker. I don't think he can win. But if he does win, I just can't wait for all the promises that will not be fulfilled. Because the American presidency isn't a dictatorship, and Donald Trump doesn't know what he wants to do either. I honestly think in other circumstances he could just as easily run as a Democrat, because if you look at a lot of what he says he wants to repeal Obamacare, but he's for the individual mandate.
No, I'm with you, man. I think he's as much a liberal as he is a conservative. I think he's all over the place and doesn't have any fixed ideology at all. But frankly, sir, I consider that a plus.
Well, I don't think – if you look at his voters, one of the things that interests me is I think if you were to ask a Trump supporter, what is Trumpism? What does Trump believe? What is you think he wants? I don't think anyone other than the wall would have any idea. And I mean, to me, that seems to be scary, that we're just want to elect somebody because he wants to burn – says he wants to burn everything down or because he's mad. I mean, I'm mad too, but I don't think that – anger is a good substitute for reason when we're selecting the leaders of the country. And I think it's kind of a little sad that we're going from Thomas Jefferson and Theodore Roosevelt to Donald Trump.
Well, but we're not, sir. We're not. There's so much in between those guys and Trump. See, I read this earlier, and I'm not going to read it again, but basically I'm saying that the reason we've got Trump, the reason the establishment has Trump, is because in election after election after election, they haven't followed through. They haven't done what they said they were going to do, and we're in big trouble. Whether you want to look at the debt, or you want to look at jobs, or the economy, or the roads, or whatever you want to look at, we are in trouble. I think we all agree on that. And in election after election, sir, since the Jeffersons, we haven't made progress. We're kind of moving back a little.
Well, voters want to have the cake and eat it, too. They will complain that we have a debt, but then they don't want to either raise taxes or cut spending. They'll complain that Social Security is going to go bankrupt, but they don't want to do anything.
Oh, there's going to be pain. There's going to be pain.
Yeah, but the voters have to look in the mirror and blame themselves because they are not sophisticated enough to accept the trade-offs that have to be made to either preserve our entitlement programs or build to repair the crumbling infrastructure or whatever people want to complain about. It's their own fault because they can't. Not like adults look at these problems and accept the fact that you just can't have your cake and eat it too all the time. And so voters who keep complaining about politicians, hey, we elect these politicians. The truth of the matter is politicians can't shoot straight and be honest with people because they'll react like children and get mad. If you look at Social Security, if anybody ever talks about cutting Social Security or raising taxes, people have a little temper tantrum. Well, then what are politicians going to do? I mean, that's the voters' fault. So I wish people would quit.
Wait a minute. Who is it that stole from the Social Security fund in the first place? It wasn't the people, was it?
No, it is. It was our politicians.
It's our politicians.
If Social Security was put on an irrational basis, you'd have a by the old folks because they'd say that they're being robbed of what they paid in, even though a lot of people are getting more than they ever paid in. So the fact is Social Security really wasn't begun for the purpose that it has evolved into. And so now people would get mad if you try to cut back. I mean, you have to do something. You have to raise...
My dear friend, if they hadn't robbed the fund, there'd be plenty of money to pay people for the next 30 or 40 years with no problem at all.
People live longer.
Oh, come on.
But if you were to take the money that you put into Social Security, that money does not pay for the benefits that the average worker eventually gets.
The reason the money isn't there is because they stole it. Come on. Be real.
No, the reason we have problems is because people do not want to ever either pay more taxes or cut spending. They want to, the same people who would say they want a smaller government, if you ask them on specific programs, would it be Social Security or...
All right, listen, the one place that I think you and I agree is that to make progress, there's going to be pain, right?
Right, and people can't take it. They can't take their medicine, so they just stand and complain about the Illuminati.
All right, we'll leave it there. Yeah, they complain about the Illuminati. No, there's going to be pain to bring the jobs back to the United States, to really get the debt down where, you know, our grandchildren are going to be able to afford something, to do any of the important things that are ahead, there's going to be pain. There's no doubt about that. On Skype, you're on the air. Hello.
Bill Gabb. Roswell's there, Art.
Roswell's
there. There's a little delay. I'm calling in to give you 3 points on Trump that I think everybody's missing.
Yeah, go ahead.
And those 3 points are, first off, I worked the G8 summit in Sea Island. If you don't remember, 4 days ago, there was Democrats and Republicans and billionaires that met on Sea Island again.
Okay. And yes,
And that's in the Golden Coast of Georgia.
Right.
Look, 4 days later, we have this big riot in Chicago when Trump's coming in. It was organized.
Oh, of course it was.
By big money. Because they do not want what Trump is bringing. He is bringing...
I don't know. Look, sir, it was organized pretty much by MoveOn.org. Now that you know.
Yeah, but that's Soros funded, and that's big money, and it's also the politicians on both sides are in agreement. They don't want to see Trump because of his brand of populism. And like I said, I worked at G8 Summit. I kind of know how these people operate. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to try to be like I know everything like the last caller. But what I will say is that I do understand what's going on right now with this election cycle and what they're trying to do. My second point is with Apple. You had asked about the
Apple. But before we leave the political arena,
I'm going to go back.
How do you think this is going to wind up? In other words, is he going to end up getting enough delegates to be anointed? Or is it going to be an open convention and a bloodbath? What's going to happen?
Well, I live in Ohio, Art. So I don't – Kasich has this pipe dream he's going to take Ohio. He's not. He's a good governor, and he was a good congressman.
The latest polls show Kasich getting pretty close to Trump.
Yeah, he may get close, but that's only because he can really milk that northern tier of Ohio, the Cleveland, Akron area, because that's where he's from. So, I mean, that's just – that's the nature of Ohio politics.
Okay.
But I don't think on a national, especially when it comes crunch time, he's not going to be able to pull it. Anyways, going back to what I was trying to get to with Apple.
Sure.
First off, the NSA has cracked everything. Trust me on this. They could get it. They could go get a FISA warrant. I used to be LEO, federal LEO.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you stuff that, look, it's already been put out with PRISM and everything else that the old defector to the, what's his name, leaked. I can't think of his name off the hand.
So you think a FISA warrant and they could force Apple in a New York second?
Not even that. They can go through NSA and under a FISA judge. What I'm telling you is the FBI, if you think about it, why are they pushing this and putting this in the limelight like, oh, this is so secure? It's not that secure.
Well, maybe if Snowden wasn't in Moscow, he could break it.
Well, it's been broken, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's muff fake thrown up. Now, the third thing you mentioned about David Duke, okay? The first day when he first, and all he did as a member of the alt-right community now, all David Duke did was say he supported Trump. That's it. He didn't say...
Hey, I didn't even know he did that. I thought it was always a question of whether it was just he was disavowed along with the KKK or whatever.
Yeah, he disavowed him that morning, I think, somebody asked him. He disavowed it by the time that they actually brought it up, like 8 times.
Yeah. But in the CNN interview, that's not so easily sold. CNN's right about that, because if Donald hadn't repeated the name of David Duke and the KKK, and he did repeat it, that lets us know he heard it, which means he intentionally didn't at that instant disavow. Well, we had a primary going on in the pretty deep South Mississippi, I do believe was coming up, and so he may have done it for strategic reasons, but...
Well, like what we used to say in the federal LEO community, I'm going to be very honest. You go to a Klan rally, and let's say there's 300 people there. There might be 20 Bubbas. The rest of them are either FBI agents or informants.
That could be.
That's for real.
Yeah,
And it's old, used-up stuff. The alt-right is made up of regular folks, and
all
it's
right.
not about anything other than nationalism and just... I don't know, man. I have more in common with somebody that wants to have a black nationalistic feel than I do with just a regular person.
All right. I appreciate your call, sir, but that was a Trump screw-up. I mean, that's all there is to it. That was a Trump screw-up. Big one. You know, he tried to say something, I believe, the next day about an earpiece, right? Nonsense. He repeated the name David Duke. I knew I was watching live when it happened, and I knew, uh-oh. I think he did. I don't think that Trump is racist. Okay? Let me get that much out. I don't believe that Trump is racist. But I think for political, strategic reasons, he did not do what he had done every time previously, and that was to... He wanted to generate headlines. That's what the guy is doing. It's all about news cycles, owning news cycles, and oh, baby, he owns them. No question about that. He really, really owns news cycles. But that was costly. You know, a lot of his stuff hasn't been that costly, but that was costly. In my heart, I don't think he's a racist at all. But I think that not answering that question in a timely manner made people wonder. And that was a goof. That was a big goof on his part, my opinion. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hey there, Art. Hey, you know, I want to transition from this. Here we are listening to your program when you're coming back and the one or two programs that are like it. And if we really listen to the guests that you've had on through the years and others have had on, it's Jesse Ventura got it right. It's Demogrip, Crips, and Republicans. It's a couple of gangs. They have nothing to do with the Constitution or the way our country runs. And here we are being laughed at if we do have human hybrids, like one of your guests talked about this year, if we do have extraterrestrial races, some of whom may not have our best interest in mind, some of whom may want to enslave us. If we have all this going on, they're laughing at us for talking about men that won't really have enough power to do that much. What do you say to that, you know?
Well, I say that if we have this human-alien hybrid thing going on, then, yeah, the rest of it doesn't matter much.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna open up your gate.
This is Midnight in the Desert. To call the show, if you're east of midnight, call 1-952-CALL-ART. If you're west of midnight, call 1-952-225-5278.
Hi, everybody. I'm Art Bell, filling in for Heather Wade. It's a pleasure to be here, and I just looked up at the clock and realized we're in the final half hour. How is that possible? I mean, really, how is that possible? We just started a few minutes ago. All right, let's go to the first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hello. Going once.
Who's that, me?
Yeah, that's you.
I'm on the first-time caller line?
Yes, you are.
I thought you gave a different number.
Oh, no. You're on our special line. I'm sorry. Next to it.
Holy cow, I was going to be crazy. I was going to go crazy because I'm like, I'm not calling the first-time caller line. Sorry.
Yeah, you're on the special line. Anyway, go ahead.
Special line, yeah. Anyways, my name's Kyle from I Falls.
Right.
I just added myself to Bellgab. Hopefully the admins add me. I haven't checked my emails yet anyways. But, yes, I definitely agree with a lot of your callers that have been tonight about Trump or whatever, and the fact that he's not actually an insider, and it's kind of refreshing to see somebody that's not an insider, not a globalist, not a New World Order globalist, that is running for president, that kind of like Reagan. Remember how he was, wasn't he a movie star or whatever at one point?
Well, yes.
Yeah, he was a movie star, and so was Trump or whatever, and he did very good for our country.
Well, Trump was a reality TV star, actually. Ronald Reagan did a lot of Western stuff like that.
Yeah, Reagan was a Western kind of guy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the Apple iPhone kind of thing,
yes.
The situation,
yes.
I think that they're trying to start a precedent. That's what's going on. They're trying to start. I'm not as smart as your other callers.
Who's trying to start the precedent? The Apple company or the government? The government?
The government's trying to start a precedent.
I'd say that's very likely.
The government's trying to start a precedent. They're trying to say that, oh, yeah, oh, these terrorists are doing these things, so we need to get into this iPhone or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, that's setting a precedent. So if they get that one iPhone, they can get anybody's iPhone forth and so forth.
You're right. I look, here's the thing again. I'm going to drop this on you, and maybe somebody can answer it. Why can't the government just give the damn phone to Apple and say, all right, open it? You don't have to give us the program. You don't have to tell us how you open it. We don't care. Open it so we can solve this mystery. And if there are murders, and, you know, the information in a phone could lead to the solving of a murder, then I can understand somebody handing the phone to Apple and saying, open it. You know, some court could decide that, and Apple could open it, give it back to him. That'd be the end of that. They don't have to know. They don't have to have a secret back door or anything of that sort, which is what it seems like they want. Why not just open the damn thing and hand it back to them? Let's go to Bruce, who is on Skype. Hello.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Hey, cool.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I heard you was you had Reba McEntire as a guest.
Right.
And a trucker called in and said what a how great it was to hear her songs when he was driving on the long, lonely highways. And you could really hear in his voice that he just meant it.
I don't remember interviewing Reba.
It was a long time ago.
Boy, it must have been. It's so long ago that I don't remember.
So anyway, I'm a middle wing ultra-moderate.
A middle wing ultra-moderate? Was that correct?
Yes.
A middle wing ultra-moderate.
I made that up myself.
And it means what?
Well, it means I thought at first you need a right wing and a left wing if you're going to fly.
Yeah, so we've heard.
Yeah, I changed my mind. Mm-hmm. You just need the middle wing, which I think is most people.
Doesn't a middle wing ultra-moderate crash a lot?
No.
No wings.
Because we're not subject to side drafts and things like that as much.
So in other words, you're flying as I was describing earlier. I would do that. If I had no fear, that was one of my questions tonight, no fear at all, I would do that. I would put on one of those suits. And I would go to a very high mountain somewhere and jump off. No doubt granting the wish this morning of lots and lots of people. After talking about politics. Let's go to the phone and whoever's next, which in this case is Las Vegas, I think. Hello.
Good to hear your voice, Art. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine.
How's the family bell?
The family bells, the ABs, are thriving. Thank you.
I only have 2 points, and this is all political. One, the best thing that could happen is Cruz takes a powder. I mean, the only introduction he's given us at this particular point is hair oil, supply side Jesus, and head lice.
Yeah, but if Cruz takes a powder, I mean, he's the only one who's delegate close at all to Trump, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but he has no constituency. He's the most hated person.
Well, he is hated. Actually, everybody in the Senate pretty much hates him. Well, he does have one endorsement. You're right, though. I mean, most people hate Cruz, but in today's environment, that usually is a good thing. I mean, it means all those angry people have someone to go to. So it's either Cruz or Trump. And how can he drop out? He's got the second most delegates to Trump.
Well, the whole thing was, I don't think he believed that he was going to go this far. I knew that he, you know, it was relying on the evangelical, and that didn't really turn out as well as he thought he did.
Boy, what a surprise there, huh?
Well, yeah, again, Jesus saves, and, you know, hold that Bible, but we make it a point to lie about it. Secondly, Donald, as far as Trump is concerned, I don't know whether he is the chemo or the cancer for the Republican Party. I'm a West Coast liberal elitist Democrat. I mean, I absolutely think this is hilarious to watch this. But the whole thing to it is that he's got what they say. He's got piles of what you might say FU money, and he can literally say FU if he wanted to. But he's in a situation where this is fomentation of 20 years of listening to that gas bag, Limbaugh, and then getting on, you know, all ripped.
I'm curious. I haven't heard Rush. What are his comments about Trump?
Short of him walking on water, okay, because he was obviously vehemently at first opposed to Trump because he was a clown and a huckster and a carny and on and on and on.
Wait a minute. He went from that to endorsing him or in...
No, he's changed. He's more or less changing horses, but he's going from Ted Cruz, which has been his oxygen, guys like him and Levin and Sean Hannity. This was the fringy guy, and this is Ted Cruz. Now that the momentum is changing, they're also speaking from the other sides of their mouths. So, you know, but this is years of Limbaugh, you know, complaining and talking, you know, this government's doing this.
I really want to be clear here, sir. You're telling me that Rush is now behind Trump?
What I'm saying is that, yes, Rush Limbaugh is more or less being a kinder, gentler windbag when it comes to Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, maybe he's figured out that, the wind seemed to be blowing in a certain direction, and I best put my sails up or I'll be left behind.
Well, he's always been a windsock, but he's always been able to have his pulse on, your average blue collar white guy who's pissed off at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget that created that which begot the teabaggers. The teabaggers were going to go out. We're going to go to Washington D.C. and clean house. They've done nothing.
Well, all they did really was fill up my email with spam. I got so much spam from the teabaggers. Jeez. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces of spam. It made it easy to get rid of. Everything from the Tea Party, all at once, delete. They just send out endless, endless emails. Has Rush really gone over to Trump? Was that man right? I would have to say that I am very surprised, if that's true. Somebody else... Please come along and either confirm that or deny, if you wouldn't mind. I really would like to know, and I've not been listening to Rush. I have no idea what his position on this is. Skype brings you upon the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hi.
Hey, it's Kamintosh calling from Seattle. And I want to talk a little bit about some drone technology and physics concept I've got. But first, just to get it out of the way, I think Trump is as frightening as he is exciting right now, but he's more like a pro wrestler on TV or something. Like, the harder you hit him, the stronger he gets.
Well, that certainly is true. If nominated and then if elected, the big question is there another Donald Trump in there? Is there somebody who, once he is in office, wouldn't scare the hell out of us?
Well, I think you're right. I think he is kind of two people. I think he knows.
No, I didn't say he was. I'm asking you. Do you think he is?
Well, I think he's got to be. He can't be what he looks like face value. I think he's on TV. He just wants to win. But he's smarter than that. I think he's a winner in his own right. He's got to be smarter to be able to do what he does. So
I hope you're right.
We'll see.
Uh huh.
I just like that he's shaking everything up. I think we really needed that.
Oh, he's doing that all right.
Anyway, so which you have a DJI Phantom. Which one do you have?
I have the 3 Advanced.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got a Phantom 2, and I was just watching today about the Phantom 4 with the collision avoidance technology.
I couldn't believe it. Well, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks after I buy the 3 Advanced, they come out with... But I'm okay. There are other cool things about the 4, but the 3 Advanced was a really good price. I caught it at $799.
Oh, no, that's great. I'm about $3,000 into mine.
Yeah.
You don't start out that way. But, Amazon's going to need this kind of avoidance technology. I've watched DARPA videos where they have swarms of drones that can fly like a cloud, and they don't touch each other.
Right.
And it really got me thinking. You had a story once about some people on a highway at night that went through an intersection and collided with a truck and went right through the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking that, atoms have a lot of space in between the electrons. And if you could somehow modify the electrons with some kind of collision avoidance technology, you could pass solid objects through solid objects.
There could be some foundation to that, I suppose, but that's quite a separation of atoms.
We don't have that yet, but I could put that all together in my mind and think, wow, we're just starting.
Oh, we are.
Amazing.
Amazing trying to products. Imagine where it is 10 years from now when I can't get 2 or 3 weeks down line without a new model coming out and besting what I have. It's just impossible to even imagine where it might be.
Well, and everybody's going to have a drone, and we're going to have clouds of drones out there that need to not run into each other. They need to pass, groups of them need to be able to pass by each other.
Kind of like the same need we'd have if we had a flying car.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
I know.
I'm just waiting for my Tesla 3.
I know. Where's my flying car?
I don't know. Anyway, I just it's fun to hear you talk about your drone. And oh, have you peeked over the hills and looked into Area 51?
Do you really think that I would take something I paid that kind of money for and fly it into Area 51?
Well,
maybe.
It'd be worth it once.
That's all you'd get is once. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. It's tempting. Very tempting. Would come under the category of things that I've always wanted to do, things that I've thought of doing, things even that I've dreamed of doing, but have not quite yet accomplished. Would I do it? I don't know. It comes under the category of what if you were fearless, what would you do? Yes, then I would drive down Highway 95 until I got to the right location, near the mailbox maybe, put my drone up, tell it a gentle goodbye, and proceed. Hello there. Marysville, somewhere or another. You're on the air.
Yes, it's WQTT 1270 here in the Marysville.
Ohio?
Yes, Ohio.
Ohio, such an important state, man.
We're about 40 miles. We're about 40 miles north of, 30 miles north of Columbus.
Right.
So.
Such an important state coming up in this election, sir. Can you tell me how you think Ohio will go?
I can tell you just from what I've seen around town, and now I live in a town that is basically Republican all the way.
Okay.
People are trying to decide just simply what to do, and they're probably going to go Trump before it's over. They like the governor, but there's a lot of people in this area that work. The penitentiary here, Women's Penitentiary, different mm-hmm. things that are state. And a lot of them are mad because she did shrink a lot of that kind of stuff, and they did lose some jobs. And it's nothing major, but they, you know, there's just, we're living in that part of the country where that happens. So,
Governor Kasich, he really says a lot about how many jobs he's created in Ohio.
He's created a lot. He messed up a few, but we're right in that place where he's messed up a few. So this part, and we'll probably go. And they were talking about the upper part of the state looking Kasich. Cincinnati's as much Kasich as they are. So I don't know. It's up in the air here, and it could go either way. I don't really care which way it goes. The thing with Kasich is if he wants to run or wants to get in there, he might as well just go to Trump and say, hey, take me as a vice president.
Well, you're certainly the only person who's called and said, I don't care how it goes.
Well, at this point, look at every president we've had. And everyone fusses, says, oh, we need this one, we need that one. We get one, and we go on. Look at the one we've got now. Yeah, he's, in my opinion, he hadn't done real good. But we're going to go on someplace. Now, what we don't want to do is keep going with the same party all the time. That's a blow up. I think we ought to just change back and forth every other time and forget it.
Well, I do. I have sympathy with that point of view, actually. If any one party stays in office too long, they have too many opportunities to affect the Supreme Court. And another 4 or perhaps even 8 years of Democrats with the nominations that would come along with them could really change everything about America. So, you know, there really is a lot at stake. I mean, there's a lot at stake. This has been some crazy season, and I don't know that I should be admitting that I have enjoyed watching the, I don't know, would you call it the strife? The wild, I have enjoyed it. I just admit it. I've really enjoyed it. I am a political person at heart. And I know that probably I'll be crucified for bringing it up on the show and talking about it. But, you know, I'm old. I don't care. Skype, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Ed. Am I on the air?
Did you call me Ed?
I'm sorry. I meant Art. I apologize.
Ed's not here.
No. Ed's listening on the other radio.
Okay.
We're part of the Houston QRP Club. All of us, we're all big fans.
All right.
But anyhow, no, I think this has been one of the most exciting election cycles I've seen since the Atros Perot debacle in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I see the same. It's kind of an interesting thing in that no matter what the person is, as long as they're not that type of insider, so to speak, people would just climb to them, no matter who they are or what they do. And as for the one caller who was so concerned with throwing people out without their coats in Vermont,
right?
I found that to be just right, because I'm getting tired of these people breaking in with violent and rude protests to these people. I don't care if I agree or disagree. I don't care if it's Hillary Clinton. I wouldn't do that to her. She has a right to speak at her rally. If you want to protest, go outside and protest. You know what I mean?
You're talking about taking her coat, Hillary's coat? I wouldn't do that to the country.
No. I was talking about a protester.
Oh.
Yeah, the protesters that broke into the Trump thing and right. had them take their coats and toss them out.
Yeah, I know.
But anyhow, now, as for what would I do if I were fearless?
Yeah.
I still remember, I believe it was an April 1st show of yours, where a guy supposedly flew and landed in Area 51.
Well, I don't know about landing. He flew in. We don't know.
Ed and I listened to that night. We called each other right as that happened, and we go, did we hear what we just thought we heard?
You did.
Excellent radio, Art. It was great.
It was.
But still, yeah, that's what I'd do. I would, I'd make it. I'd land right there, just like the guy did on Red Square, and I'd get out, take a selfie, and get ready for a long stint in Leavenworth or wherever they'd send me.
If you weren't instantly extinguished.
Oh, I don't think they'll do that now. You know, kinder, gentler, probably smaller bullets.
There's a lot of kinder and gentler out there, sir, but trust me, you would be extinguished. You would be dust. There are some things that you don't fool with, and Area 51 really is one of those. So, yeah, only if you were entirely fearless would you proceed along those lines. You would be atomized. You would be gone, and you wouldn't even know you were gone. You would just, you know, like that. Great way to go, though, actually. All right, let's see. Let's go to, I don't know, let's go to this line. First time caller line. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
How's it going? I'm calling about John Teeter.
Huh?
I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to try to explain quickly my involvement in all this.
Are you involved with John Teeter?
Yes. Basically those faxes you got in the late 90s, I believe it was 97 or 98, I was the one that came up with the idea for those faxes to be sent to you to prove that John Teeter was a real time traveler. And you got those faxes, and they're on the internet now.
You know him to be a real time traveler, and how do you know this?
I don't know him personally, but like I was one of the people. Like,
well, wait a minute, sir. A fax doesn't prove. Hold on, a fax doesn't prove anything. Okay. I'm asking you straight out. How do you know he's a real time traveler?
Well, I mean, it's more so. Well, when I first met him, it was a gut feeling that made me trust it, because it's a long story. Like I said. At that time, it was around 1999 when I was posting on conspiracy forums, like post to post.
Yes, yes.
And and I was posting how the Serbians shot down a stealth, and everyone was denying it and thinking I was crazy and I didn't know what I was talking about. And at the same time, there was I'm a time traveler from 2036 post going on, and everyone thought he was crazy too.
I recall. So I'm going to ask you straight out one more time, because there's not a lot of time. How do you know he's a real time traveler?
Because of the facts. The facts that was sent to you in the 90s proves that the 9/11 predictions, there's three of them that are around. Three of those faxes are out and circulated thanks to your show and the help of your show, which is how we got it out there. My idea was, like, if you want to prove you're a time traveler, send it coast to coast, where, like, it's a forum where everyone will be able to see it and prove it, and give us a prediction that hasn't happened yet. Because up until that point, when I was talking to him, 9/11 hasn't happened yet. I didn't even know 9/11 was going to happen. And I didn't find out until years later that he did make the prediction, and it was true, and it ended up onto your show.
you should be in politics.
I think so. And by the way, Time Travelers and I endorse Donald Trump.
It's the way you answer questions, or not.
Well, I just want to say another thing. It's very interesting that it's 3/12/2016, because John Titor said that World War III started on 3/12/2015 in his world line.
Okay.
That's why I had to call, Art, because you were on the air a year after, in his timeline, that World War III started. And it's just amazing to me that you're talking about Trump and politics right now, because I think this is very important, because in the year 2000, he tried warning us that the election was going to be rigged. And this is what's happening right now. And people in Michigan didn't let it happen. And Ohio, Illinois, and Wisconsin need to follow suit and not allow our elections to be stolen.
All right.
And that's really all I really need to say about that.
Well, there's one more thing you need to say. Okay?
What?
You ready?
Yeah.
Say goodnight, world.
Goodnight, world.
That's it. Next time, folks, from the high desert, great American Southwest. You all, look at those phone lines, all full. Skype going nuts. Goodnight. Goodnight in the desert.